Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
I have a really good idea.
I doubt it.
Okay.
But go for it.
I've got many, many dogs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think of ways to calm them down.
Sure.
So I have a new solution.
Yeah, what is it?
Kratom.
Okay.
Oh,
because they go in dog crates.
Jokes are funny when you explain them.
Oh, this is stranger still. That so succinctly sums up our show, explaining jokes, because you always say something and I never understand it.
That's my click, you know?
That's my brand?
That's my brand.
That's your brand of humor.
That's my, non je peux, you know? My non je peux. It's French.
I thought you were French or something.
I like 1%. I can't, not enough to pronounce plume.
Welcome to Stranger Still, the show where we answer them questions you never thought to ask.
Them questions. Like,
them
what's
questions.
My name?
Like, my name is Nick.
My name's John Began.
And just in case, like, this is your first episode or something. Episode or something. Usually we talk about, like, weird science things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those.
Okay.
that's my intro today.
I think I'm having an episode right now.
You're having an episode? Of what?
Of anxiety as to what we're talking about.
Oh, we're talking about Kratom, John.
Okay.
Which, now that you did your stupid opening joke, now that's all I can hear when I say Kratom.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Dogs are barking. Kratom.
So, John.
Kratom, boys. It's like what a dog cop says.
It's like the sitcom where the dog is a dog catcher.
Good boy, good boy. That's the name of my dog cop show.
John has the spec script. He's been trying to push the networks for
years. They're both good boys, and they just want to help. Both the good cop and the good cop.
What are the dogs' names?
Bork and Spork.
You got lazy on your writing there. Maybe that's why none of the networks are picking it up.
All right. Good boy, good boy. It's going to be on CBS.
If they...
Maybe it'll be a Netflix original.
Well, that's where everything goes to die these days.
Okay.
Like, instead of doing, like, straight-to-video releases, they're just like, Netflix, will you do something with this? And they're like, sure. Like, that's how the Cloverfield Paradox got made. They're like, this sucks.
I saw the first 30 seconds of that.
I haven't watched it.
I couldn't get into the first 30 seconds.
It came out when I was out of town, and I was like, oh, I'll watch it. And then, like, the next day I wake up and everyone's like, this is garbage.
Yeah, you know what's not garbage?
Hunter.
Yeah, and Kratom.
That's what you're going to say. And Kratom. Kratom, that's right. So, John, why did you want to talk about Kratom?
Because I got totally...
Blitzed out
of my mind.
Can you tell I'm a dad because I use words like blitzed?
Yeah, dude.
NFL blitz.
Yeah, just like the NFL. I was blitzed out of my mind.
So you wanted to cover Kratom, though. This was like
I wanted to cover Kratom because I am in the know as far as progressive politics.
Are
go.
You? And Fella. Humble.
I'm very humble about it. I like to stay informed. And there's
That's
a gentleman
a better way
named
of saying it. Instead of, I'm in the know. You sound like my
I'm
dad.
In the, I'm in the know. In Washington. I'm going to pop that bubble.
Yeah.
But anyway, Secular Talk's Kyle Kalinske says that he uses Kratom to focus when he wants to get work done.
Okay.
He mentioned what it was.
Yeah.
And then I looked up Secular Talk Kratom on YouTube. And there's like 5 videos about it. And it was ridiculous that it's going to be attempted to be illegalized.
The FDA has been trying for a really long time to make Kratom illegal.
And it got me mad because it seemed that there were people that were getting good uses out of it and getting off of painkillers. And we have an opioid epidemic in our country.
Yeah, we'll circle back around to that at the end because it'll get a little bit dark in here. But for the most part, this is a pretty light topic. I was trying to find...
That was pretty good.
What was good?
You'll listen to it later. You'll see. It's light topic, dark. You play with a lot of contrasts. It's good writing. That's all.
Quit saying jokes that I don't understand in the moment.
Yeah.
And then later I will understand it and be like, dang it, I should have played off that joke.
Yeah.
That's every episode of this podcast. But the most recent news that I had on Kratom was on September 11th of all days, the FDA released another new statement warning people against the uses of Kratom. Because, quote unquote, the death tolls of Kratom-related deaths are rising, which is a little true. And it's also not really true, but we'll get there because most people don't know what Kratom is. And I think we should probably tell them what it is.
Yeah.
Because I've, like, many people have asked me, like, what are you covering this week? And I'm like, Kratom. They're like, and that is.
Yeah.
And my definition to them, do you want to repeat what I said?
What did you say?
I said that it's a drug that's somewhere in between ibuprofen and heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you said, you sound like an old man. I was like, no, that's exactly what it is. Because Kratom in small doses acts like ibuprofen or caffeine.
Yeah.
And then in large doses is literally an opiate. Like, it attacks the same areas of your brain as an opiate does. And that's, I guess, where the controversy comes in. But in your, like, from your understanding, what is Kratom? Because you're the person that introduced it to me. So I want you to introduce it to our audience as well.
Sure. So I also say that I had tried it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a head shop.
Yeah.
It's the only place you can get
them. I don't
know
what a head shop is.
Just like where you buy, like, they wink at you and they say, like, this is for tobacco.
Oh.
One of those places.
It's like they got the bongs out there.
Yeah.
Like, for tobacco use
only. Just a bunch of dumb, like, glassware.
Yeah.
So anyway. You go there and they sell them in pills. They only have them in gelatin, which is annoying.
Yeah.
But it's basically just like something that you use to deal with anxiety or pain because it's a herb.
Yes.
That your body takes and transitions into the same thing. The same. It breaks it down the same way it would as an opioid, except safer.
Yeah.
Vastly safer and does not benefit the pharmaceutical company.
That's true. And that's probably why they're pissed off about it. I didn't find anything about that because that's like hard to get. It's hard to find the truth on that. Like you could say up and down the pharmaceuticals are trying to shut down Kratom. But then at the same time, like, how do you know the FDA isn't just worried about people?
Mm.
But we'll get there. We'll get there, John.
All right.
We'll get there. So Kratom, so from your eyes, it's like a pill or a powder. That's usually how it's consumed. Like, you can mix it into drinks. From science's perspective, it is a plant called Mitragynia speciosa. You might also know it as Biak, Ketum, Kakuum, Ithang, Thom, or what?
Mangda. That's a strain of plant.
Oh, is it? Or Kratom. And from here on out, we will call it Kratom.
Yeah,
Kratom. Or you might not have heard of it, because I had never heard of it until you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes from a tree. It's from the leaves of trees grown in areas around Malaysia, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Thailand, Myanmar,
mm-hmm.
that area, like the Southeast Asian areas. Yeah. Around the oceans.
I'm glad Papa's up with the business because Mama New Guinea stopped growing it.
I thought you were going to make a Papa John joke. Papa John's been ousted. It's said to give you more energy, put you in a better mood. It's been used for a really long time in these countries as like a small pain reliever like Advil or ibuprofen. And some people say it's an aphrodisiac. It's been used for
growing afros. Oh.
As it was.
That's something different.
Yeah, this is very different. How far back do you think the usage of Kratom
ancient
goes?
Ancient Egyptians.
Maybe. I don't know.
In Indonesia.
No, it was pretty much like centered around the Indonesian area in Malaysia specifically. But the furthest back documentation we have didn't spring up until the European nations started trying to colonize the Indies. And it was in 1839 that a Dutch botanist documented it down, named it. It's changed names a bunch since then, but he was the first one to do it. And by then, Thailand and Malaysia were already using it as a substitute for opium and to curb opium withdrawal. So they had been using it for a really long time in those countries.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a part of their medicine at the time. And flash forward to 2010, like that's just how it was for 200 years almost. In Thailand, people started making recreational drugs out of it.
Yeah, put in drinks.
Yeah, there was a drink. It was called 4x100 or 4x100. Something, I don't know. I'm too nerdy and daddy to know. But it was a mixture of Kratom, cough syrup, Coca-Cola, and ice.
Gross.
That would result in some deaths. And eventually people started mixing it with other opiates.
Yeah.
And it's become sort of an issue in those Southeastern Asian countries. And believe it or not, John, there have been a number of growing Kratom-related deaths.
Ooh, no.
Do you believe it?
No.
You don't? Well,
because the numbers were, this guy overdosed on Kratom. He also shot himself in the head with a gun, but...
No. Now you sound like Trump in the...
No, that's real.
We'll get there, but
yeah.
You sound like Trump on the hurricane deaths. Like,
oh,
person died of old age, just lump him in. That's not how it works,
yeah.
Trump. I mean, we'll get there. I'm just teasing you.
Okay, but it's real.
But it has become sort of a recreational drug in addition to medicinal uses. And there's still people that use it in small doses, but in large doses, it does become a similar drug to heroin. And apparently it didn't hit the U.S. until like somewhere between 2012 and 2015. And it's still legal here. And depending on who you ask, death counts are still rising as well. And that's where the controversy comes in. So I want to go over the controversy real quick, and we'll circle right back around to it at the end of this episode.
All
right. But way back in September 2016, like a year after it hit the States, that's when the FDA really started to try to make it a Schedule I drug and make it illegal. And for those who don't know, because I didn't, some other Schedule I drugs are heroin, LSD, weed, and ecstasy, which... Marijuana should not be a Schedule I drug. I don't, like, as soon as you pair them up with heroin and LSD, it's not that bad.
It's just like...
No matter what your opinions are, it's nowhere near that bad.
Yeah. It's just people not understanding something and then getting fear-mongering.
Well, let me give you the definition of a Schedule I drug, because I didn't know this either, and I've been curious for a really long time, so I'm glad it finally came up in an episode. A Schedule I drug, and I got this from a website called healthychildren.org. And I don't know if they like copied it from the FDA or something, but a Schedule I drug, substances, or chemicals are defined by the federal government as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Schedule I drugs are most dangerous drugs of all the drug schedules and with potentially severe psychological or physical dependence. Have you ever heard of someone having marijuana withdrawal? I haven't. Have you ever heard of someone becoming severely psychologically damaged because of weed? I haven't.
No.
These, like, and there is potential for medical uses. We've seen it. How can you make that a Schedule I drug? If you look at the facts, I don't care what your opinions are on making it legal or illegal. The facts are there is some medical use and it's not addictive.
Right. Which, like, is why I wanted to also bring up CBD oil.
Yeah.
That's the closest we can get right now.
Yeah. And I think we're getting better at weed, but I feel like Kratom, if they want to make it...
I'm getting better at weed.
You know what I mean. but as we get into this, I don't think, I'll just say now, I don't think it should be a Schedule I drug at all. But I'll let you guys make that decision. And
nah.
I know.
This is the correct opinion.
I'm talking to
though.
The audience, not you.
Okay.
We'll get into our opinions after the break later on. But there have been signs that these claims that it gives you energy or makes you focus more or it relieves inflammation and stuff, there's been evidence that that works. So you can't also say that there's no accepted medical use for this. Like, that's just patently false.
Yeah.
And it's also been shown to be addictive. That's in the higher doses because, again, it attacks the same areas of the brain that heroin or other opiates attack. So it is addictive, but that's only if you get like above 15 grams of this stuff, which seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
I don't really know. I've never used it. So
the way that it's usually broken up is that each little capsule, just as if you buy anything else, you can even buy little gel capsules to put your own like herbs or medicines in, or oils.
Yeah.
Some people do. It's about a half a gram.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to take one like normal ibuprofen type dose, yeah, that's six pills.
Yeah. Well, like the minimum dose that
it usually comes in 20, a group of 20.
Yeah. There was three sources where I saw this. Like the minimum dose is usually like 5 grams.
Yeah, that's 10.
Yeah.
It's 10 pills.
That's a lot.
It's, and like,
that's small
half
dose.
A bottle. That's $20. Yeah. It's $10 for a dose.
Yeah. So
unless you buy it as a without the little capsules.
I'm sure if you cheaper. Got it on Amazon, it'd be cheaper too.
Mm-hmm.
Or just the powder or whatever.
Yeah.
Because all it is just a ground up leaf. You don't really need a capsule for it.
That's, I would have to open the capsules up and put them in my with my matcha tea.
And there's going to be no difference in that because it's not like a time release capsule.
Right.
It's just to hold it together.
Because
mm-hmm. So the thing that I learned about Kratom, all the articles said it's an alkaloid. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? So I reached out to Justin Fignola, our network
resident
co-founder
scientist.
And resident scientist. I was like, what the hell does this mean? He's like, all that means is that it probably digests in the gut. It has nothing to do with the way it affects your brain. It just means that it digests in your gut. And I was like, oh, so it doesn't need to be time release.
Someone wanted to sound fancy in their article.
Yes, and like all of the articles. So why do people use it? We've touched on that briefly, but I want to clarify a lot of the supposed health benefits it has. And I do say supposed because there's not enough research on it, not because I don't believe it. So in small doses, it's used to help reduce pain, inflammation, or muscle pains, Advil or aspirin. A lot of people use it to treat symptoms of degenerative diseases, like diseases that attack your nerves, like arthritis or fibromyalgia. A lot of people use it to help with chronic pain diseases like that. We've talked about how it helps with opiate withdrawal. So it's less addictive than opiates, so
it's not going to damage your liver in the same way that like an Advil or ibuprofen.
Yeah, so you can pretty easily, since again it attacks this or targets the same areas of the brain, you can use it and just replace it out with heroin and you're pretty much good to go. Wean people off of it. And in lesser cases, I came across where people were using it to treat diarrhea. And that's because there are some adverse effects with any medicine. You have side effects. If it's doing something, then you're going to have a side effect. And one of a lot of the minor symptoms are other symptoms that you see with opiate use. And one of those is constipation. So it can help with diarrhea.
Great. All right.
Yeah. So in small doses, you see a little bit of those symptoms like nausea, itching, or sweating. And once you up that dosage, you can get the constipation or dry mouth. Some people have apparently had seizures while they take kratom. And if you take too much, of course, you're going to start to hallucinate because it's a psychotropic drug. It's a downer, which is kind of counterintuitive. In small doses, it can be a stimulant, but the more is in your dosage, it can like dull your senses and your emotions. And
I don't think it's that much of a downer. I think it's pretty good.
That's just your opinion, man. These are the facts. But once you get up to the dosage enough, it can lead to the worst side effect of all, which is death. And there have been reported cases of kratom-related deaths.
Okay. So do you have scientific research that death is the worst symptom of all?
What would you say is worse than death?
I don't know. Diarrhea sounds pretty bad.
I would disagree with you. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we'll go our own ways.
Well, I wanted to circle back around to the controversy because the FDA has failed to outlaw it so far, and they continue trying. I think they should stop trying. I don't think that it is super harmful. I was pretty much only able to find one study on this because there's not a lot of science out there on it.
I sent you the Secular Talk videos that I watched that got me inspired.
Yeah.
He had a lot of science about the fake results of death.
I have that. Don't worry. But in small, the study said in small doses of, well, I guess this is 1 to 5 grams. Sorry, I misspoke earlier. The high end of the small dose is 5 grams. You're going to start feeling the stimulation, the pain relief. You might also start to feel a little bit more anxiety than you would expect. At 5 to 15 grams, you're going to get even more of that stimulation.
The anxiety is similar to if you had too much caffeine.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Oh, okay. You're going to be the expert here. I'm just going off of what these articles told me. Once you go above 15 grams, that's when you start to get the it'll reduce your sensory input and dull your emotions, bring you down, put you in a state of euphoria, just like an opiate would. And it usually takes effect in about like 15 to 30 minutes or so and stays in effect for anywhere from an hour to 5 hours. Again, that just depends on your dosage and like your mode of ingestion, but it's going to be digested in your gut, according to Justin. And then everyone keeps
saying... Alka-Seltzer. Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
That's why it's called Alka, right?
Yeah. Is it? I don't know.
It's like a belly thing.
So let's talk about the deaths, John.
Okay.
I know you've been itching for this.
Second worst symptom you could get.
What's the worst? Oh, diarrhea. So I was only able to find like one definitive figure on how many kratom-related deaths there were. And there's this Huffington Post article that was like basically what I'm guessing the Secular Talk video is about. So there's one research organization in 2016 that said in Georgia, that was like the only state I could find with kratom death numbers, there was 15 deaths that had been blamed on kratom. To put that in perspective, in 2016 in Georgia, there were 918 opium-related deaths. That seems like a lot more, like almost 1,000% more.
Yeah.
Huffington Post did a little bit more digging around, though, and found that the people conducting the autopsy were really quick to blame kratom for the death when in 11 of those cases, they involved some other sort of drug. Yeah. And it might not have been like an illicit drug. There are people that had died.
Like they could have been antidepressants.
Exactly. So yeah. Antidepressants were one. Anticonvulsants, like medicine to help with seizures. What is wrong with my...
Et tu, Broody? You know?
that. Okay, I got that one. But they're supposed to help with seizures. Allergy medicines, like antihistamines, were found in these people's systems.
I hate histamines.
You're totally antihistamine. Yeah. I'm with you there, buddy. Some of these people had benzos in their systems. They had other opium, heroin, other illicit drugs like cocaine. Only four of these cases were strictly kratom. And my guess is it would have been had to have been a hell of a lot of kratom to cause them to overdose.
That's so much money. It's so much. Like the average dose, like I said before, that's $10 for 5 grams of it. So it's like, if you're gonna do like 30, you're spending like $60 on this. Just go out and go to a legal weed state, like smoke for a month.
Yeah. I won't go there. I was about to ask how much. Never mind. So I will also point out that if you're thinking about going out and getting some kratom,
way less. Nick is the answer.
So if you're going to go get some kratom, just know that there have been a few cases where people are on normal prescribed doses of, like, it was usually two things. It was antidepressants and anticonvulsants to help with their seizures, Caesar salads. And they would also take kratom and they would die as a result. So there have been cases like that where it's just like you're doing your normal thing and then you took some kratom and unfortunately you died as a result. Between 2011 and 2017, there were 44 quote-unquote kratom-related deaths. Again, with the context we've given you with
opiates.
Georgia. Well, I'll get to opiates, but just in Georgia, a quarter of those were actually kratom, whereas three-fourths of them could have been related to other drugs not playing well with kratom.
Yeah, and
it's like 10. It's like 10 kratom deaths or 11 kratom deaths.
It's skewed in the sense that it's like a popular topic because it's only been since 2010 that they've been trying to make it illegal. So it's easier to blame that than to blame cocaine because it's already illegal.
Well, let's look at opiates. So there were in the same time frame, do you want to take a wild guess as to how many opiate-related deaths there were in the United States? 2011 to 2017.
Oh, no, dude. Millions, probably.
Not millions.
I would say 100,000 deaths.
224,048 deaths in the same time frame. That's a lot.
Compared
to 10. And yes, it's like 10 is still a bad number because no one deserves to die unless you're like Hitler. But I don't know, hot take. But a quarter of a million deaths is a lot worse. Focus on that, you idiots.
Yeah.
What are you doing? This is like some hippie medicine. Just let them chill out. That's just my
thanks, man.
So there's my last little bit on the controversy is that this all comes down to research, and there isn't hardly any evidence or any clinically tried studies out there on kratom, and I think that's what we need, and that's the moral of a lot of our episodes is we need more research. There was one researcher that made a synthetic version and was able to get the same effects without getting like the dangerous stuff you get from opiate use, like slowed breathing or dependencies. So like one of the most harmful things when you take heroin is your breathing slows down and you stop breathing and you die. That is like the second worst side effect other than diarrhea.
You know what sucks about that? It's like this guy's well-intended, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless he's funded by some company to make their own version and slap a label on it.
Yeah.
But it's in our capitalist system, the way that our healthcare works, that no matter how well-intentioned he could be, it's going to benefit and profit someone.
Yeah.
Versus, and like the way to get that done is like, it's beneficial to make it illegal and then have a synthetic version come out.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
that's speculation, but.
Well, this guy, he went on to say like, he's like, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and be like, kratom is going to solve all of our problems, but there is promising evidence that we should at least be looking into this more instead of locking it away behind a steel vault as a Schedule I drug.
Yeah.
That's like the dumbest thing you could do. And that's my official stance on this.
And that was his official stance, and he was voted least likely to lie in his yearbook, if you look it up.
Yeah?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. This whole, like, it just pisses me off that our world works the way it does, where I'm sure that this, like you said, this stuff isn't cheap. It grows in like 5 countries in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
So it's not super profitable. It's a tropical plant. You can't just like grow it here in Iowa. Like you can't expect the opiate farmers where that grows in a lot of countries to be like, well, let's switch over to kratom because it's safer. No, it doesn't make as much money.
Yeah.
But that's getting into like conspiracy theory territory.
But it's also not just conspiracy theories if it's real.
Yeah.
If there are farmers out there, they probably have unions and they probably are like politically influenced.
Yeah. Big pharma. Gotta love them.
Yeah.
Can't
small
live with
farmers,
them.
Big farmers, medium farmers.
Yeah. So
they all grow it.
Yeah. So I say if like 1 gram gets you benefits,
mm-hmm.
and it takes a lot of grams for bad things to happen. Like if you drink too much
water.
Red Bull. Well, yeah, if you drink too much water, that's called
drowning. You die from hydrolysis.
It's cell death and stuff. But like if you drink too much Red Bull, your heart explodes.
Yeah.
But we don't make that illegal. It's like the same thing with kratom, where it almost has the same effects. It constricts your blood vessels, makes you more stimulated. It helps you focus. It has the same effects as Red Bull in a small dose, but as soon as you add more, it becomes bad. You're going to get that with a lot of things that are legal.
Yeah.
So why target this one? Because you're not getting money in your pocket?
Yeah.
Why? That's all I want to know, people.
Think about all the chemicals in soda you can't pronounce.
Yeah.
The L-theanines.
Yeah, this is so I guess part of the other problem is with kratom anyway, is it gets cut with a lot of other stuff. Sometimes it's not always pure kratom. You got to look out for that. Especially, like, I found one article that went into the doses, but then it also gave like
mercury percentage.
Well, no, it also said like if it's cut with this, then your dosage should be that, and if it's cut with this, your dosage should be that.
Okay.
So if you're gonna do kratom, which I don't see any reason not to, if you're gonna do small doses and you just want to, like, instead of taking a Red Bull, you want kratom, go for it. That's my official stance. I don't think I will. I like the taste of Monster too much. But
I'm saying if this was marketed differently and legal and they gave up their garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you could have...
But then the FDA comes out and says, like, don't take it.
Yeah, but you'll have, like, kratom-flavored Monster. Like, there's business opportunities in that sense. That's, unfortunately, the less evil side.
Like I said, though, it's not as profitable because it only grows in 5 countries.
Depends on marketing.
I don't know. But... Yeah. What was I going with that? I was saying you should use it, but don't use too much and don't make it illegal unless you're going to also make, like, water illegal. That's a bad comparison. Unless you're going to make just regular opiates illegal. There you go. That's my official stance.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to say on the whole controversy or anything at all?
Make sure to go to strangesocialshow.com/shop.
Where we've got kratom for sale.
Yeah. We'll hook you up. We've got some Green Malay, some Mengda, and... Get you a good deal. Use a promo code
Green Stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's a good. What's a funnier promo code, Nick? This is. I'm having a
stranger.
I'm having a mid episode crisis.
Well,
stranger danger.
Stranger danger. I got nothing else on kratom. All I can say is I think that the benefits outweigh the bad, and I think our listeners would be responsible enough to try kratom. If you want to try it, just be aware of if you are on, like, antidepressants. Like, the one that I take is the one that the guy took and died.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah, I think it's certain... I forget exactly what the acronym is, but there's some that, like, they're neurotransmitter blockers. I think that it's that type that you need to watch out for. It's also like, man, I can't remember anything about
beta blockers.
No, that's something else. It's like,
it's
an inhibitor of some sort, but, like,
just beta blocking is what I do on Twitter all the time.
Is that what you do? All those conservatives come at you. So just be careful out there. I want you guys to be safe, but it's not super dangerous. Just, you know, if you should, like, be researching this more if you're on antidepressants.
You know, when you're a little kid and you're, like, too little to start trying out drugs, but you have a bunch of soda.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah, be careful. That's all.
Should we go to a break real fast? Then when we get back, I'm going to go into all the different schedules of drugs because I've wanted to know this for a really long time. Even though it's, like, hardly related to this episode, I thought it was really fascinating.
Yeah, so. And right on schedule.
Oh, God. There's a place you can go to find us. It is strangersstillshow.com. What if I went with Facebook there? That would have been really funny.
That would have been, I don't know. I think for the chorus of your song, you probably want to go with the main site, which is strangersstillshow.com. You could also find us on facebook.com/groups/strangersstill.
We're also part of the Flying Machine Network, where you can support us and listen to some other awesome, 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 awesome shows.
Whoa.
I know. Hot take.
You're full of awe.
I am full of awe. They are just awesome. You should go check them out. You can also support
us. Wouldn't it be called awful if it filled you with awe?
What is you know, some? That is weird.
It should be called that Awful. Weird. We have a bunch of awful shows to fill you with awe.
No, don't say that. you can support us on Patreon through the network if you want to help us get to a visual format. And
yeah.
You can see our dumb faces.
And my good face.
Well, fine. Just single me out as the
No, I've got a... Mine's versatile, that's all.
Oh, okay. I don't know how I feel about that.
You feel awful about it.
I am so turned around, John. So should we go into these scheduled drugs?
Yeah, what time is it?
4:20. Actually, it's 4:27 as we're recording this.
That's really unfortunate.
I know, I'm sorry.
7 minutes.
So should we start at the top or start at the bottom? Because there's 5 schedules. Do you want to start at 5 or start at 1, which is the worst?
I'll start at 5.
Okay, we'll work our way up. Schedule 5 drugs. Again, these are from, what was that website? Healthychildren.org. So schedule 5 drugs, substances, or chemicals are defined as drugs with lower potential for abuse than Schedule 4 and consist of preparations containing limited quantities of certain narcotics. Schedule 5 drugs are generally used as anti-diarrheal, antitussive, and analgesic purposes. So some examples of these. That was like the worst sentence I've ever said.
That's okay. You know why you got by me with that?
Why?
Because I was imagining that healthychildren.org was a site for keeping children healthy. But maybe there's another site called healthychildren.com that's written by trolls about the healthiest diet techniques for eating children on the bridges.
Gross.
And I was trying to design their webpage with my head. Yeah.
Squarespace.com.
Yeah. No, they're not a sponsor yet.
No. So some examples of Schedule 5 drugs are cough preparations with less than 200 milligrams of codeine per 100 milliliters, like Robitussin AC as a Schedule 5 drug. That's pretty non-assuming. Schedule 4 drugs are substances or chemicals are defined... Oh my God, this is the worst sentence I've ever said. How about this? Schedule 4 drugs, substances, or chemicals are defined as drugs with a lower potential for abuse with lower risk of dependence. Let me read you some of these and you tell me if they match that description.
Okay, lower dependence...
And lower potential for abuse, yes.
Okay.
Ambien.
Mm-hmm.
Valium. Xanax.
Okay. A little bit. L-I-L. A little bit of dependence. A little bit of addiction. little rappers. Yeah. That's terrible. And that's opioid. That's
yep. Bad. So, Schedule 3 drugs, substances, or chemicals are defined as drugs with a moderate to low potential for physical and psychological dependence. Schedule 3 drugs abuse potential is less than Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 drugs, but more than Schedule 4.
Wow. Insightful.
I know. It's like it fits somewhere in between 2 and 4. Where do we put it?
Oh, man. So, it's higher than 2.
It's lower than 2, but higher than 4.
Okay. I got that backwards. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure.
So, numbers.
We'll figure it out eventually. Some of these examples are Vicodin, Tylenol with codeine, ketamine, anabolic steroids, or testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
You can get addicted to testosterone.
Yeah, bro. You even lift?
I guess not. I don't lift my glasses high enough to read this. Schedule 2 drugs are substances or chemicals that are defined as drugs with a high potential for abuse, less abuse potential than Schedule 1 drugs, with use potentially leading to severe psychological or physical dependence. These drugs are also considered dangerous.
Cool. So there's this weird microcosm in podcasting where a lot of the same people, maybe it's because we're all the same demographic of dudes that are white that are making the most of it, make a joke about a specific saying and sequel. And I would like to know, Nicholas, in that context, with that in mind,
I have no idea
what schedule is the drug Electric Boogaloo?
That's step into Electric Boogaloo.
Schedule 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
It's wild. Have I never talked about this on the show?
Maybe you,
I talked
you have, about it with my so dad. Has everyone else. Everyone always says Schedule 2, Electric Boogaloo all the time.
They do, but... That if you haven't seen that movie, I'll just tell you there's a scene where Jean-Claude Van Damme shows up and does a dance scene because when
this is a kid's show. Could you call him Van Darn, please?
Van Darn. He shows up because while they were filming that scene, he was just hanging out on the beach that they were on and he saw some cameras and walked up and was like, "Hey guys, can I show up in your movie?" And they're like, "Sure." So that happened in the movie. And there's also a scene where a man magically dances with a broom. Not like Mickey in Fantasia, more like he makes it do like the Michael Jackson lean. That's about it.
Okay.
It's quite a wild movie.
Wow.
You might call it an electric boogaloo.
Okay.
So some Schedule II drugs, electric boogaloo, are cocaine, methamphetamine, methadone, Adderall, and Ritalin. Those are Schedule II drugs.
Cocaine? Hold on.
Cocaine is
you
in
did
the same,
say that, right?
Yes. It's okay. In the same camp as Adderall and Ritalin, which we give to children.
I mean, yeah, it's the same thing.
This is like, so messed up, man.
It is. Like, that wasn't a joke. It's the same thing. It's just not as strong.
Schedule 1, we've already said what those are, but I'll repeat it just in case you weren't paying attention. They are drugs, substances, or chemicals that are defined by the federal government as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Schedule 1 drugs are the most dangerous drugs of all the drug schedules with potentially severe psychological and physical dependence. Weed.
Okay, yeah, gross.
Marijuana's on.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, they are. Thanks, Jeff. Jeffrey Sessions. Jeffrey Beauregard. Beauregard. He's like a Civil War bad guy character, isn't he?
Like, are we talking Marvel Civil War or like...
I don't know. He could be either one. But I was thinking Civil like 18... War. He just looks like he exists in the 1800s. Like he
talks like it too.
He was just like...
What's Trump say about him? He sounds like something really mean.
Something about being Southern. He was being
Southern...
mean.
Southern...
I don't know. That's the biggest word he knew in that sentence, so who cares? But I'm just saying that Jeffrey Beauregard is just like, he would have owned
seven plantations.
He would have shot Alexander Hamilton if he could.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, leave that for
Aaron. Or it's either that or he's much more ancient and he looks like a child that fell asleep under a mushroom tree or something.
What?
Something, some kind of like,
he's like going to Alice in Wonderland?
No, just like a Grimm's fairy tale character. And then he like aged. And like became, you know, came back as an old man and became, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to make fun of his appearance too much, but his ears do look slightly like a bridge troll.
It's like a more like a Keebler.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks like a J.R.R. Tolkien kind of character for sure, and talks like a Huckleberry Hound character.
That's true, and we do bring him up because he does have control over making things like this.
Yes, it's not just
like,
a random
he's
joke.
Relevant. Yeah.
Not a great guy. In my humble opinion. And if you don't agree with me, that's okay. That's why we do this podcast, to open the conversation. And we always have an open mind, despite what our reviews will say.
Right, that is true.
Which brings me to the point of this episode, which is to leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah, do that. The other thing is, Nick's... Like, he used the word humble. We're always right, though, so...
That's we're never wrong.
You have to keep in mind.
Even though we've done corrections on this show.
Yeah. And they just become writer, you know?
Like someone who writes...
I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Stuff.
I give you the incredible flying machine.